This is Science Friday. I'm Ira Flatow. 5 billion, with a B, 5 billion songbirds call North America home. And I'm guessing more than a few of them live right in your backyard. Can you guess this common backyard bird? Ah, so peaceful. Yeah. Do you know what that bird is? Give us a tweet. Get it? At SciFri, S-C-I-F-R-I, if you can identify it. Well, out of those 5 billion birds, over half of them don't have a year-round home. They drift north and south with the seasons. And as things get a little chillier up north, they head south past us. Sort of looking at it differently, we all live in flyover territory for the birds. Spotted the new flock in town, wondering where those birds in your feeder may be headed? Give us a call, 844-724-8255, 844-SciTalk. Tweet us a picture of a species. Yeah, tweet us something. A bird at SciFri you've been seeing around lately. Emma Gregg is a project leader of Project Feeder Watch at the Cornell Lab of Ornithology in Ithaca, New York. Welcome back to Science Friday, Emma.
Hi, thanks for having me.
What are you seeing up in your neck of the woods these days?
Well, I was thinking about this now that it's the migration time. What have I been seeing? Because I thought you might ask. And I have to say that what I've noticed most in the past couple of weeks as I've walked into the office is actually a lack of songs. So it hasn't been so much the migrants passing through that have caught my attention, but the end of all the Baltimore Orioles and Yellow Warblers singing their songs during the breeding season.
What does that mean to you?
It means that fall is here, or fall is on its way, and winter is coming.
Mm-hmm. So what might we see once that migration? What are the signs we should look for?
Well, so there are several things that start to happen. And I think what's most familiar to people during the migration time is that there is an influx of new species that pass through. There are species that have been here all summer that leave. And then there are some species that live in more northern locations, such as tree sparrows and snow buntings, that will show up. So there's a change in the species composition that'll come to your backyards. But there are some other things that happen as well, including in birds that don't migrate, a change in their behaviors.
Hmm.
And I can tell you
like
a little
what?
Bit about that.
Yeah.
Well, one really conspicuous thing that happens to blackbirds in the autumn season is they start going from being in territories where they're raising young and building nests, and they begin congregating in really large flocks, which they'll stay in throughout the winter. And this becomes really conspicuous because huge, huge flocks of thousands of blackbirds, often composed of multiple species, red-winged blackbirds, grackles, cowbirds, will visit people's feeders, and they'll do so all at once. And it can be quite overwhelming to have that many individuals coming to eat your cracked corn and black oil sunflower seed.
It's a flash mob. Flash mob at your feeder.
Definitely. Flash mob of blackbirds at feeders. So, and those birds aren't necessarily migrating. So it's a change in behavior that happens at this time of year.
Let's talk about your project, Feeder Watch. Do you have any tips for making feeders and yards more attractive to our feathered friends? And you know, speaking about that, you always hear people say you don't want to feed the birds at the winter. You want them to fly south. What's your take on all of that?
That is a question that we get moderately often to our feeder watch inboxes, our emails. So people are thinking that and wondering it. And let me bust that myth right now. Keeping bird feeders out will not prevent birds from migrating.
Hmm.
There are many internal and external cues that birds are using to tell them when to migrate, and having a little snack is the last thing that's going to keep them from doing it. And I like to use the analogy of running in a marathon. If you were about to run a marathon, you wouldn't wait until you were really hungry to start.
Mm-mm.
So not having food is not the cue that birds are going to use to start migrating. Mm. So if anything, a little feeder, a little seed, a little nectar will help them on their journey. Mm.
Let's see someone who's trying to help his birds out. Sean in Fairbanks. Hi, Sean. Have you seen any different birds?
Yes, I have, Ira. Lots of birds passing through heading south.
Wow. What can you recognize what they are?
Absolutely, I can. Yeah. For instance, we have a large number of sandhill cranes heading south right now, and you can hear them pretty much every morning at around 6 a.m. Squawking as they fly overhead.
Wow. Well, Emma, what do you think of that?
I think that's fantastic. Sandhill cranes are a really wonderful species to see during the migration because there are lots of places in North America where they won't occur except during migration. So they'll breed in the north, they'll winter in the south. And so lots of us in the middle part of the continent only get to enjoy them as they're passing over. And those squawks that the caller was mentioning are sometimes the best cue that they're around. They'll fly so high that they're often really hard to see. But the calls are very conspicuous, these bugling, cackling calls. And when you hear that, if you know it, you know, sandhill cranes, It must be the time of year for migration.
Well, every year I talk about my great frustration in attracting hummingbirds to my backyard. I've planted trumpet vines, all kinds of showy plants. Not one yet. I'm keeping my fingers crossed. Maybe I should do the bird feeder route.
Flowers, feeders. A little bath water. Hummingbirds will come and drink bath water, or you can put out a mister.
They migrate.
You're doing everything right.
And they have they make a huge migration, don't they?
They sure do. Yes, hummingbirds can fly. Despite the fact that they're so delicate and they need to eat so frequently, they can really take on some serious feats of endurance during migration. Hmm. And I think one of the most noteworthy are ruby-throated hummingbirds, which are one of the more widespread species in North America, which will fly all the way across the Gulf of Mexico in one shot, even though they're so tiny and there are no flowers on the way. So they have to do it all at once.
Let me go to Phoenix, Arizona. Let's check in with Ethan. Hi, Ethan. Welcome to Science Friday. Ethan, are you there? I sort of heard his a little reflection there. He was asking actually a question I was going to ask also, and that is climate change affecting the migration at all?
Yeah, well, so that is one of the hardest questions. It's a good question to ask, and it's a hard question to answer because climate change is affecting not only bird populations, but plant populations and plant phenology, the invertebrates that live on those plants, and therefore the birds that feed on those plants and insects. And so the short answer is absolutely yes, but exactly how it's impacting both migratory and resident species is really complex. And to at least provide a little bit of detail, the one thing that I can say that biologists who are studying this have been observing is in some species, although not all, they're noticing an advance in arrival dates in spring. So as winters are becoming more mild, the locations are becoming warmer, birds are in some cases showing up to their breeding grounds earlier. Wow. And whether or not that's actually good for them depends on a lot of other factors. So it's a really complicated puzzle to solve. And I think the take-home message for listeners is that this is a really important time to be watching the birds that are coming to your backyard, and it's a great time to be participating in bird counting efforts such as the Christmas Bird Count or eBird or Project Feeder Watch, because lots of things are happening now as the climates are changing.
Quick call to Joe in Sleepy Hollow. I'm jealous of Joe.
Okay, I'm listening to your comments here, and I was just sitting on my deck listening to it, and pretty much throughout here there's been a nonstop parade of hummingbirds to our two feeders out here, and I'm also noticing that it seems to be not just be males, it seems to be the females are coming too now.
All right, I'm heading to your house, Joe. Thanks. Thanks.
Yeah, that
send him our way down here. Thanks a lot. I want to thank you, Emma, for taking time to be with us today. And good luck on good luck on your Project Feeder Watch. Emma Gregg, who is project leader of Project Feeder Watch at the Cornell Lab of Ornithology in Ithaca, New York.